All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Shine and Flow. I am super excited today because not only are we filming this for the first time, yay, but I also have my really, really good friend Molly here, Molly Zive, and she's so awesome. She's a psychotherapist, and she's going to share some wonderful little bits of gems here and there, and she's going to help us out with our stress and anxiety. So before we get started, let's go ahead and take three deep breaths in. Breathe in and out. In, out, in, and out. Ah. Isn't that so nice?
Thank you. Yes, it's always nice to just start with some mindfulness.
Yes, it is. And I notice that every time before I start the podcast, I'm always in this kind of like excited, hectic energy. So those deep breaths help me like come back to earth and like figure out my thoughts and everything. So that was really good. But yeah. Thank you for being here today. I'm so excited that you made the drive and that you're going to share some knowledge with me and everyone out there who's listening. Because, I mean, we can all use a little bit of help with stress and anxiety, especially, you know, nowadays with everything going on. Mm-hmm. So you were saying that you've been super busy lately with a lot of people. Is that right?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this. Just holding space and just shining your light for people, because this is really needed. I have to admit that, you know, before I started my private practice, I remember listening to one of your podcasts. Aww. And I hated my job at the time. I was working for an insurance company, and I just was listening to your podcast. I'm like, she's really doing it. It was very, very inspiring. Aww. For me. So I feel like
you.
in a way you've really helped me kind of realize my own potential and just go for the things that I really care about, and it may be scary, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
So thank you. It's kind of full circle.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That is so sweet of you to say. I felt like I was going to cry, but I was like, don't cry.
Hey, I'm a therapist. I welcome the tears, yeah. All the feels.
All right. In that case.
All the feels.
Oh my gosh. That is so sweet you say that, because just recently you started your own practice. Mm-hmm. So you ventured out and you were brave and courageous and you went for it. So that's funny, because I reached out to you when that happened. I was like, oh my gosh, you're inspiring me. You're so inspirational.
See, we recognize it in each other. Yes. There's little bits of that everywhere in the world, right? It was where we pick up.
Yeah, that is very true. So I need some help. My dear friend, psychotherapist Molly, mm-hmm. I need help with stress and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's something, and I know everyone who listens to this already knows about, but I have struggled with this since I was in third grade. Mm. Like, I found some journals the other day at my parents' house when I was going through some old things. And in third grade, I was like 8, 9 years old. I was writing things like, I need to live life more positively and not be so stressed out.
Oh my God.
I was 9 years old. Like, what was I stressed out about, right?
Yeah.
So this has been it's been a real thing for me, mm-hmm. that I've always just kind of struggled with. Mm-hmm. And especially lately, we were talking about before, you know, we started recording, that I don't really have like direction right now. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just going through the days. So yeah, what's some knowledge you can like drop on me?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to
kind of... This is awesome. It's free therapy session, right?
I think it's really important to acknowledge the fact that where you were in third grade is not the same person you are today. Mm-hmm. Even though you were having those feelings and it was very real, I hope that you can recognize like in yourself that how much you've grown and how much you've developed coping skills and different things, and mm-hmm. even putting something like this out there to help other people. I'm sure... When you say you don't have purpose, I mean, you're recording a freaking podcast. I don't know how you don't have purpose.
You're so
yeah,
sweet.
But I think it's really important to just also acknowledge and appreciate that. And when you're living on this planet, everyone has experienced trauma, right? And yes. Trauma is not diagnosable. Of course, PTSD is diagnosable, and there's different criteria for that in the DSM. Mm-hmm. But trauma is basically an event where your internal and external resources don't give you the ability to cope with the situation. So here today, mm-hmm. we are dealing with multiple collective traumas, mm-hmm. you know, the COVID-19, you know, the things that are happening around the Black Lives Matter movement. There's mm-hmm. a lot of trauma that is happening mm-hmm. That, you know, our country as a whole, if you look at it from a macro perspective, wasn't able to deal with something this serious and this traumatic.
Yeah.
Right.
This is heavy, right?
Yeah.
It's affecting everyone. And I'm a huge believer of energy and, mm-hmm. you know, everything being contagious. So I feel like you're calling it collective trauma. I really like that term because I feel like it is very collective. All that energy and that like pent up frustration mm-hmm. and everything. It's, you know, like how do we get through that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways we can get through it. And I think that in our country specifically, we're very individualistic. And so it is kind of hard to acknowledge the collectiveness. But yeah. I know that you're super close with your family. I'm super close with my family. And just having that tribe around us to really rally around us, you know, yeah. that collective and that support system is so important to recognize I'm not the only one struggling. I'm not the only one going through this alone.
Yeah.
You know, that we're going to find ways to cope with it.
Totally. And I think it's so important to remind yourself that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the biggest inspiration behind Shine and Flow podcast is that a lot of times I felt so alone with this like overwhelming anxiety. And, you know, to the point, I don't want to get super heavy, but where I even question, like, why am I alive? Right? And mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people mm-hmm. hit that point. So I thought to myself, man, if I'm having these thoughts, which I like to pride myself on being optimistic and mm-hmm. happy, I'm like, I can just imagine people that, you know, don't have those types of skill sets, I guess, of mm-hmm. like optimism and things, how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to remind yourself you're not alone and there's others out there for you.
Right. Thank you for being so vulnerable. I think it's really important that we acknowledge that, you know, at one point in our life, or even if it was today, that those are very serious thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And they can be very isolating. It's basically when you're separating yourself from your true aligned higher self, right? Is you're so far gone from who you are in your highest self that right. it feels like you're disconnected. You're completely separated from yourself. Yeah. And the only other option is like, how do I escape from this? Right.
Yeah.
Or get yourself back into alignment, right. With coping and
exactly.
meditating and listening to things like this to kind of get back in touch with your higher self.
Yeah. And I love how you said that. Cause I also do believe that we are, you know, in essence, divinity, like mm-hmm. we are created in God's image. We are like beings of the universe and we're made of
chills.
Yes, I love it. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're made of the same materials as mm-hmm. nature and everything else around us. Mm-hmm. So when we just get so out of touch with that inner divinity, I feel like that's, you know, the playground for the devil. It's mm-hmm. like how can I stir up some stuff and like get this person to hate themselves and not believe in themselves? And
yeah.
sometimes that, you know, that ego is so strong mm-hmm. and those evil voices in your head. So yeah, it's how do you get through that, you know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in order to diagnose someone with an anxiety disorder or depressive disorder, what we do as clinicians is we look at the functioning level, right? So we look at what does your sleep pattern look like? If your sleep is completely off, if you're sleeping way too much or way too little, there's something going on there, right?
Right.
There's also appetite. That's a big one. We assess, you know, how much were you eating before feeling this way? Are you eating way less? Are you eating way more? Those are good indicators that something more is going on. Mm-hmm. Also, your activities of daily living, also known as ADLs. So like mm-hmm. taking a shower, doing your chores, doing those day-to-day things.
Oh, okay.
Are they becoming harder and harder to do? Like those mm-hmm. are three functioning categories that we kind of assess to mm-hmm. see. And of course there's time periods and things like that to make it really diagnosable. And I'm not trying to diagnose anyone here, but those are really good indicators that if you're finding yourself being low functioning, that's the time that you need to reach out for help.
That's really important to mm-hmm. know what symptoms they are, because I think sometimes things are so, what would be the word, like so convoluted mm-hmm. that you can't really realize within yourself, especially if you don't have mindfulness, that you're experiencing things like that. Mm-hmm. You might just think, oh, I just never sleep well, or mm-hmm. I just never eat, but it's what's going on inside. Like what is happening in your subconscious mind, mm-hmm. right? That is affecting your sleep pattern that's going on. I know for me personally, when I don't get good sleep, my soul is not happy. Like there's something going on within mm-hmm. that I need to really dive into and figure out, mm-hmm. which is also scary, right? Mm-hmm. To dive into like the deep, scary parts of yourself. Mm. It's really freaking scary.
Yeah, I can acknowledge that. But at the same time, I am someone who truly believes in self-awareness, right? Like mm-hmm. as a therapist, yes, as a clinician.
I love that.
I am not going to be someone who's going to be able to wave my magic wand and make you feel better. Mm. This is an inside job. This is a deep diving job. This is all about self-awareness. Yes. This is cluing into what makes you tick.
Yep, absolutely. And so when you're saying that it's a deep diving job and that you can't wave your wand, mm-hmm. do people sometimes have those expectations that they're going to see a therapist and suddenly their life is, you know, cupcakes and happiness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like that's what the first sort of, I do initial consultations over the phone with people to just kind of lay out my expectation of therapy. And
oh,
I say,
good.
This is a collaboration. Like in order for this to truly work, you have to be open and receptive to feedback, open and receptive to doing things. Cause we only have that hour, right? Mm-hmm. Or even 50 minutes on some cases. So what you do in those 50 minutes, maybe once a week, is important, but it's really when you step back into your life, what you're doing and how you're seeing the world differently. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm challenging your negative thoughts, are you able to catch yourself doing that? That self-awareness, again, is just really building back up to that self-awareness. And we all have that intuition in us. It's just whether or not we want to get in touch with that.
Exactly. And I think that's the part that most of us might fear, right? Is mm-hmm. getting in touch with that intuition. Because guess what? You're in touch with your intuition and suddenly you realize that you're not happy with your life.
Right. And I see that all the time. I see that things just fall away. People, places, things just fall away from my client's life in order to create a life that is more purposeful and more meaningful.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable in the short term. But totally. In the long term, it's like, how did I live my life any other way?
Right. It's kind of like, you know, going to the gym. It's like, you're going to be, what I was telling you, I was super sore today. Yeah. You're going to be super sore. It's mm-hmm. going to hurt. It's going to suck while you're doing mm-hmm. it. Like yesterday, I wanted to quit so many times because I was like, I am so tired. But then, you know, today I'm in a lot of pain. But I know in the long run, it's good for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I remember this woman I met. She was so cool. This like super spiritual lady, and she was from Hawaii. And she was telling me the what was it? The bigger the harder the pearl, the greater the wisdom, or something.
I love
like that.
Yeah,
it was. I don't know. She made it sound way cooler. I just butchered it, but.
No, you get the gist.
But it was
good.
Like super spiritual. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
It's absolutely true, right?
Yeah.
Or like a skilled sailor never sailed on a smooth sea or something like that. Like you have to go through turbulence. And that's why it's important to like acknowledge that we all suffer some sort of trauma in our life. And not to sit here and be like, you're traumatized. I'm not labeling anyone.
Right.
But we need to at least acknowledge that, hey, that thing that came up in childhood is very much playing out in my life. My relationship with people. You know, these aspects of yourself when you were that little child is still, if you never healed it, it's still coming out.
It's still like manifesting mm-hmm. itself. And but you've outgrown that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did a podcast recently on a victim mindset and an empowered mindset. Mm-hmm. And I was doing my own like soul searching and stuff. And I realized that a lot of my coping mechanisms and things were based from like a victim mentality. Mm. And, you know, for the mm-hmm. longest time, I was always trying to figure out, like, what's holding me back? Like, is it me? Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I broken? Mm. Like, all these terrible things. And then I read this really amazing article, and on, I think it was Psychology Today or something, but it was talking about how our coping mechanisms are created when we're children, mm-hmm. usually, mm-hmm. and then they carry on with you the rest of your life. But you need that self-awareness, again, that mindfulness to either realize that it is a victim mindset holding you back from the life you dream of, mm-hmm. or an empowered mindset where, you know, you are just out there, you are killing it, you are doing great. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's so important to realize how you're talking to yourself, mm-hmm. what kind of energy is behind what you're doing. Are you doing things with, you know, a lot of heart, or are you doing it because you have to?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yeah, I see that all the time with my clients. Is like, it just feels like every day is just a to-do list. And this pandemic has kind of made people slow down a little bit more. But what I wanted to say in response to that is, one of my friends, and who's also a therapist, we went to grad school together, she's taking a course right now, and she was talking about how she's has this business coach who's saying that the CEO of your business is your inner child. So it's very, like, if you think about the way that you do things in business, like,
I like that.
Yeah, right? Wow. It comes, it's like, oh, I was really fearful in this situation, or sometimes I'm scared of doing new hard things. And it's like, that's little Molly talking. That's not, like,
that is not empowered psychotherapist Molly.
Right. And I think it's also really important to just honor her, you know? I really feel like.
Good point.
Yeah, I was listening to a really good affirmation meditation the other day, and it's like, feelings are just like little children. They just want to be acknowledged. They just want to be seen. They just want to feel understood. So this is information that we need to start paying attention to, right? It's like, we can't keep suppressing these really important things that are coming up for us.
Yeah.
Called our feelings.
Exactly. Or having aversion to them either, right? Because when you have aversion, you are suffering. Like, I learned this at my meditation retreat. You know, if you crave something, you're suffering because you don't have it. And if you have aversion towards something, you're suffering because you're trying to push it away. So you have to remain with an equanimous mind of accepting those rising emotions, those rising feelings, seeing them, right? But also being mindful of, like, I don't have to react this way. I don't have to engage. But, you know, I'm just going to let you pass. Kind of like a wave in the ocean. It's like, just watch it go by. Because the more we're like, oh, I hate little Lucy. She's so annoying. She's so victim broken. The more I am just causing, like, friction and suffering for myself.
Yeah, that reminds me. I think I was listening to Jack Kornfield, who's a Buddhist meditation
teacher. I love Jack Kornfield.
And he was saying that when he was going through, I think he was in a monastery, and
I know.
Goals, that's what I wanted. Yeah. And he was saying that his teacher would walk by as they're doing hours and hours of meditation and just go, "Are you suffering?" And then walk away. Because he knew it was all mental, right? He knew that it was all mental. Are you suffering or are you not suffering?
Oh my gosh.
He had some sort of, like, simple answer. Not simple, but very profound. Like, if you say yes, then okay, well, you're doing the work. If you say no, then you're doing the work, right? You're creating the suffering for yourself.
I love that. Wow. That is so, like, easy, but so, like, intense too, right? It's like, whoa, my mind has been blown right now.
I know. That, when I heard that, I was like, that is the most simple yet profound thing I think I've ever heard. If you really boil it down.
Totally.
It's like, go to a Buddhist monastery and learn how to enjoy your life.
Right? Can we all just go do that right now?
Yeah, BRB.
Let's just run away. Oh, man, I love that. So I wanted to, I had something on the tip of my tongue. Oh, right before we got started, we were talking about how, what we were just saying, that people are, a lot of people tend to run away from their feelings or suppress them, and how we're always trying to keep busy, right? To just fill the void. So can you, like, talk a little more about that? I find that so fascinating, because I was telling you, with myself, I find myself feeling like I have to be busy all the time. And then I have to, you know, coach myself, like, you're okay, you can sit down, you're fine. So, like, what do you have to say about, like, those feelings of always having to do things? Like, how can we help ourselves through that?
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. I think that's really important. I think that, you know, even before I went into private practice, where now I can kind of create my own schedule, I was in that rat race and feeling like I always had to be doing something. So I can relate completely, where we live in a culture where it's like, if you're not doing something, you're labeled all these different things and almost shamed for it.
So true.
Yeah. So I use a modality called cognitive behavioral therapy. And with that sort of, the framework is, you can't have a feeling without a thought. So think about that again.
Okay.
You cannot have a feeling
without a thought.
Feelings just don't come from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So they come from the thoughts that you're telling yourself. And a lot of us have these really strong beliefs, which are just thoughts we think over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So if we're constantly telling ourselves we're not doing enough, or we're not amounting to enough, or we're not making enough money, what sort of feelings is that supposed to evoke? And then to take it a step further with CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy, it's also the actions. So we focus on thoughts, feelings and behaviors, and they're all sort of interconnected.
Right, it's like one leads to the other. Mm-hmm. You think it, or no? What it's thought first, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the thought, and then your feeling. What sort of feelings does that evoke? Okay. And then you hit the nail right on the head. Is like, am I avoiding the situation? Am I deflecting from the situation? Like, those are the behaviors that we sort of do to kind of manage our own feelings. And sometimes they're really helpful. Like, I don't think worry is so harmful, because worry also helps us get things done, right?
Yeah, it's true.
The amount of worry, you know, if it's excessive, then that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But, you know, worry can sometimes be our motivator. That mm-hmm. can be a feeling, you know, if you can take an action step right now, why not do that? Or if you're finding yourself like, I'd rather just zone out and be on my phone for hours and hours and hours. I mean, that's an action too, right? No, yes. I mean, we all do it.
I'm yes, like, yeah. Very true. Mm-hmm. So I guess what's the way to like face these feelings, like mm-hmm. what's your suggestion when, you know, when having a tough feeling that you're experiencing, mm-hmm. how do you face it without feeling like you're about to just get slaughtered? Right.
Well, what did we do at the beginning of this podcast? Right. We took three deep breaths, right?
You're so good.
I do this for a living. So we take three deep breaths. I mean, doing something as simple as that and just really taking a step back and assessing the quality of our thoughts. Again, this goes back to self-awareness. What are my thoughts right now? Are they racing around? Am I ruminating on something that happened in my past? You know, ruminating is a thought that you keep obsessing over something pretty much. What are the quality of my thoughts? Are my thoughts, you know, self-shaming? Are they self-rejection? Not a lot of us, you know, make it to this age and are so self-accepting or have this self-compassion. It's almost an unlearning.
Oh, so yeah. I think if we did, there wouldn't be things like social media or...
Probably, right?
Okay, I don't want to be so negative about social media, but you know what I'm saying. I feel like we're always being bombarded, whether it's through ads, social media, anything, TV, like you're not enough all the time. It's like, you're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. You're mm-hmm. not successful enough. You're not hot enough. Like, it's always something.
It's always something. And just look at the culture that we live in today with the Black Lives Matters movement and how that's even, for me, and I don't want to go off on a political tangent because I know what we're here to do, but how is that even a debate? To me, how is that even a debate? Because if you hate someone else, you hate yourself.
Yeah.
In turn, again, that goes back to the divine energy of we're all God. Yes. I just saw a Ram Dass quote that's like, treat everyone like God or goddess in drag, right? Treat everyone. I know. And I happen to just love drag queens. Like, I live for RuPaul.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
RuPaul.
But it just really like, it really opened up my eyes to the fact that, and I try to treat everyone with kindness, compassion, all of the above, but am I doing that with myself? If I didn't have self-hatred, I couldn't hate anyone else. Not myself personally, but anyone on this planet. It's like, you cannot hate anyone else if you truly loved yourself.
That is so true. And they do say that people are the mirror reflection of ourselves, right? So what we see in others is what we see in ourselves. So if we're hating people and thinking people are lesser than and things, then what does that say about us? Like, or ourselves? Like, that's how you view yourself.
You're clearly judging yourself.
Totally.
And the mirror thing, I do oracle cards too, and I got that the other day, and it just pissed me off. It pissed me off because the first sentence is like, your life is 90% your perception. I just want so badly, just like every other human, to blame something, right?
Oh.
It's not my 90% perception and 10% is real. Like, I just want to blame something for my problem.
Yeah, this isn't my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my parents' fault for traumatizing me as a child.
Right. No, and why do you think people go to therapy? And not to discount it or anything, it's like, you're spending your whole life looking at external things that, you know, have really brought you down or you want to blame. But in reality, it's your internal dialogue that you're having with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a really interesting experience. I talked about it on a podcast, I think it was like a month ago or so, but I was kind of having one of those tough days where my thoughts were going wild and they were going down a negative place. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of, you know, feeling really badly about myself. And I know my energy was bad and I was alone. So I decided, you know, I'm going to go out in nature and just kind of like reconnect. Every time I'm in nature, I always feel better. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I need to like go out and be with God, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to be out there. And as I was driving, I was just like so in my thoughts and so like upset. And then out of nowhere, I had this like voice in my head say, like, you, what was it? It was something like, your happiness is within you. Like, it's
oh, not, chills again. Right? Stuff you're giving me to anytime. I call this love notes from the universe. Anytime something resonates so with me, I get the chills. Or like, I have clients who said, you know, you're the third person to bring that up. I'm like, that's a love note from the universe.
Oh my god!
What you just did was a love note from the universe.
Molly, can you write a book? And that's the title. That would be, oh my gosh, that'd be a bestseller,
right? We would just talk about the coincidences, the synchronicities. I said that really bad, but you know, all the things that kind
all
of
the stuff,
all the things that just happen. I just don't think anything's like an accident. So
I believe that 1,000%. Like, there are no coincidences. It's like everything is divinely happening for a reason, even if it's bad. Which, you know, it's hard to see, like, the purpose behind bad things happening in your life. And I'm not saying you shouldn't feel sad or upset if bad things happen in your life, but there is a purpose to everything. And again, in order to grow, we need to experience discomfort. And maybe we need to be, you know, brought down to our knees and like crying to rebuild. Like, you know, you throw a seed in dirt, darkness, and then it grows into a beautiful flower.
Right.
So,
and you don't expect that flower to grow the next day, right?
Exactly.
You have to be patient with yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's what I see a lot, even in myself and my clients, is they just want the results right away. And I use the analogy, like, there's not going to be that new car in your driveway sort of thing. Like, this is very much a process. This is very much like, you're not going to get that result that you want and that instant gratification. This is so much of a process, which makes it really challenging, but also I feel very invigorated and I feel really happy untangling people's thought patterns and like their just like thought around their life and how they relate to themselves. So it's like this whole untangling process, but there's not like a thing. There's not like a product that I'm like, okay, you're fixed, you know, that sort of thing.
And I think it's also, you know, again, tying into society, like, we want everything so fast, like instant gratification, even like microwaves. And, you know, it's like, we don't want to wait for anything. And usually this type of like inner spiritual soul searching journey is your whole lifetime. Like, you are not going to get there within a couple of months, years. Like, it's going to take the rest of your life of diligent, like, just taking care of you and loving you.
Totally.
And I think it's so wonderful that you said that, because it's,
and it's messy. People don't realize how messy this is. I'm sure, I mean, that could be a whole other podcast episode of like how I had my spiritual awakening. I'd love to. But, you know, how I had my spiritual awakening, and it was messy. It was uncomfortable. There was a lot of growth in it. There was, it's just so, so messy. And I think the silver lining to all of this is you really attract the things that you need during those times. As you attract the people in your lives, like, for example, in January, I started with a new therapist, Doug. Shout out to Doug.
Doug.
He's amazing. He's so amazing. And the presenting problem was I was hating my job. And he was like, do you want to sit here and talk about how much you hate your job? Or do you want me to teach you how to run a successful business like mine?
Yes, I love that.
I mean, come on.
He's like your fairy godfather.
That's literally what I called him, and I don't think he appreciated it. But
Oops, sorry, Doug.
No. No, I mean, I appreciate it because that's truly who he was for me. He was able to reflect something back to me that, hey, I know you're capable. I know you're smart enough. I know you have the skills. Like, why not take a chance on this? And he held that hope for me. And I think that's what a lot of therapists do, is holding on to that hope. Like, not only learning those practical skills, like, okay, I had to do each step. It's not like he was hand-holding at all, but he held me accountable. And I think that that is what really, really changed my life. So I think he just came out in my life at the perfect timing. I don't know if I would have been ready, you know, 2 years ago, but I was definitely ready in January.
That's so interesting. Just, again, that divine, like, timing, the everything really does happen the way it needs to, you know? And I think that's really beautiful, because when you're feeling like you're out of control in your life is just not what you expected it to be.
Right.
It's like, this is all for, you know, it's all in time. Like, this is all for a bigger purpose, and you're okay, you know? So that's really Yeah, I love that.
I thought my issue was depression. Like, I thought that I was going to him because I was depressed, which I was, but it's also because of the systems I was working in, and it doesn't take a genius to realize our healthcare system isn't amazing. So as a social worker, it's like you're working up against these oppressed systems, and I started to feel oppressed. So,
and you're an empath, so
yeah,
you're absorbing all
I'm
of
like
this.
I'm like a little sponge. So, you know, it was easy for me to kind of reframe, like, this isn't... I'm not defective. I'm not the one who is, you know, unlovable, unworthy, all these different things. Like, maybe I'm just not aligned with like a good life circumstance. And then I created that for myself. I took it and I ran as fast as I could with it. Right.
That is amazing. So how did you manage? Like, I'm sure people listening to this, you know, a lot of us have thought to ourselves, like, I want to do something bigger with my life. Mm-hmm. I want to do something that like my heart is really crying out for. How did you manage to make that leap from, you know, a steady, consistent paycheck with benefits like a set, stable schedule? So how did you go from stability to figuring it out? How did you make that leap? Because that is tough.
It is tough. And I think that making things like figure outable is like my whole thing. It's just as humans, we are so resourceful. Like, I don't think people give themselves enough credit to how far and how willing they're actually able to go. Right? I think that we limit ourselves.
We do.
It's a lot of, again, your thoughts, like your self-limiting beliefs. Like, if I'm telling myself I can't do this, or, you know, I'm safe in this corporate job that gives me a lot of money, then we're never going to leave that. How could we ever leave that? Because it's a fear-based belief.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I think the turning point was seeing other people mirrored around me. And again, like, people coming out of the woodwork willing to support me. Once I kind of put that out there, because I'm all about law of attraction too.
Yeah.
But in order to have the law of attraction is you actually have to take actionable steps, right? Like, it's not that, oh, I want a new car and it's going to like appear in the driveway. I don't know why that analogy keeps coming up, but you actually...
Are you manifesting something
right now? I do actually need a new car. God bless Rolls. I've had her since high school, but she's...
That is a good car.
I know.
That's awesome.
I know. I love her to death. She's 2005. So we've been together for a long time, but
God,
I think that it's time to upgrade. So maybe I manifest...
You are manifesting it. I love it.
The things that... Yeah, I mean, in order... So let's take that example for example, I would start researching, what kind of car do I want? You know, what are my finances?
Take baby steps.
Exactly.
Towards what you're visualizing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's exactly how I did my private practice, or anything in your life, is you take those baby steps. Is like, I could have easily been drained and tired after my full-time job that I was working, but I found it within myself, like, this is more important than my energy level or the way I'm feeling right now. To, you know, keep putting it off. Like, I was taking steps and applying to panels. I take insurance panels, and I was doing all these little baby steps, all these very tedious steps, in order to really manifest the practice that I dreamed to have.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. It's just, it's so cool to hear this and see it, you know, because I've known you for a bit now.
Yeah.
And I remember you were going through those tough times and you and I would talk, and it was hard.
Yeah, I felt really trapped. I think that's like the best way to describe it, is like, I got my license. I got my MSW, so I'm a social worker, and then I got my license. And I think that it's kind of like, again, playing into our culture, and definitely in my family, education's really important. It's like, well, once I get my BA, then I'll get a really good job. Once I get my MSW, then I'll be truly happy. Once I get my license, then I'll be extremely happy and wealthy, and I'm going to finally be making like real social worker money, right? And then I got there and I was like, this is bullshit. Like, this is just, I took all the right steps and this is what, right? I'm so authentic to this. It's like, I took all the steps and I was like, I did all the things and I checked off all the boxes, and I just felt so empty. And I just felt like, what is my purpose? And I found myself like, I was just running in circles. And in order to really, truly live the life that you want, you have to take risks. You have to.
Yeah. Absolutely. You have to move forward in some way. And, you know, if you fall, like, what's the worst that can happen? I think a lot of times we create these really scary, like, monsters under the bed type of things.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, if I try that, oh, the world might end. And we don't realize we're doing that. But then when you really stop and ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen? Maybe you lose like some money, or maybe, you know, you tried something but it didn't work out. But like, you're not going to die. Your family's not going to die. Right. The world isn't going to end. Like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's this huge, like, monster under the bed mentality. But
I think that's a really good way of putting it. And I think that my biggest monster under my bed is I just always wanted my parents' approval.
Oh,
and I
think that... Who doesn't?
Right, of course.
I suffer from that, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, sticking with a corporate job with a 401k and having really great benefits very much my parents' reality growing up. And they stayed at their companies for 30-plus years. And they were able to do that. Yeah, great for them. And I just wanted so badly for them to approve of me and not have to worry about me. So that's kind of the route I took. And then I woke up and I was like, again, this is bullshit. Like, this isn't the route that I really went. And those were really scary monsters. And not to say that throughout this process, there hasn't been really scary monsters, but I've found and I've gravitated towards really great, inspiring people who just validate my soul pretty much and just like believe in me so much and know that I can be okay, which is why I finally took the full-time leap to just do my business full-time.
Yeah,
because there were so many other people holding that higher self for me when I couldn't see it myself.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that is so beautiful. Like, I'm imagining that and that's really cool.
That's what got me through it. Like, I it's really not a solo type job, you know, like and I think that's in life, our whole thing as human beings is we just want connection, and those connections were so incredibly powerful for me.
And I think that's why we crave connection, because biologically I think we are driven to interact and be with other people because that's what helped us survive, you know, when we were like Australopithecus afarensis, Neanderthals, whatever.
Okay, okay, with your terminology.
My anthropology's coming out.
Get it, girl. I love it. No, you just sounded like a brainiac. I'm like, what?
Thanks, that's all I know. But, you know, all these people, like, they discovered they were living in groups and they weren't, like, lone travelers. They needed each other to survive. And I really think it's, like, our biological instinct to gravitate towards people.
And we got so far away from that with capitalism, right? And yeah. They recently did a study about...
I love this. You are so amazing.
It's so real.
It's so real.
They recently did a study about happiness, and it wasn't money. It wasn't like a big house. It wasn't all these things that made people happy. It was human connections and how many friendships they had. And especially, I think they did the study in elderly people, and it was their friendships that really determined how happy they were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's... You experience people all the time that have everything in the world, you think, like celebrities, for example, right? Yeah. Where they're like famous and rich and beautiful and have everything they could ever imagine. But then some of them are doing drugs.
Commit suicide.
Like, yeah, commit suicide, overdose, things like that. And you're just like...
Well, even looking at you, you're so beautiful. You're a model. Oh. You're so smart. You have all these things going for you. And then to hear like what your inner dialogue actually is such a shock to me. Because on the outside...
You're like, girl...
Yeah.
What's up with you?
Yeah. Seriously. Get some boot camp on those thoughts.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, but you know, like it's just you never know, and that's the thing is you never know people's struggle either. And that's so important to be so compassionate and so loving towards another human being is because you do not it may look on paper like we have it all together, but on the inside it's like there's so many things going on and there's so much we don't see that happened in people's lifetime, not just today, but you know, throughout their lifetime, that shaped them to who they are,
right? Or what part of the journey they're in. Maybe they're going through that uncomfortable period where, you know, the seed's being thrown in the dirt and covered over and like they're experiencing that. Like, you just don't know what people are going through. And yeah, it's funny that that's your perception of me, right? Because I get from a lot of people, and I think it's a lot having to do with my social media, and I'm trying to be more real about it, but, you know, people be like, oh my gosh, you're killing it, and like, you are just so like put together and this and that, and I am shocked when people say that to me, because I just, I'm like, are you talking about me? Like, what? You know, and that's something I'm trying to work on because I have a very loud inner critic and I am very hard on myself. So it's almost like a tendency of perfectionism.
Yeah.
So,
which is, that's another like thing running rapid, you know, in our society is that perfectionism. And it's like, if you can fully accept yourself for who you are as Lucy today and have that self-compassion towards yourself, you know, what would your life look like?
Totally.
You wouldn't have these limiting beliefs. You wouldn't have, you know, these setbacks or these, even, you wouldn't even think for one second that you're unworthy of those comments.
Well, how beautiful would that be? Like, to just be so limitless with your self-love and self-acceptance that you're literally changing the world, because that's what changes the world is one person at a time with, you know, higher vibration of happiness and energy. And
you have to heal yourself. But at the same time, I mean, just to talk about the perfectionist is like, I'm a therapist, right? But like, I also have bad days and all therapists do.
We're
like,
human.
I can't be perfect all the time.
Right.
So it's just, there's no such thing as you're perfect right now. In God's eyes, in the universe's eyes, everyone is perfect as they are right now. No matter what your struggles, no matter what you look like, you are perfect, right?
Oh, I love that.
And it's a self-acceptance that I can just see so much in you even right now. It's like you want to move towards that self-acceptance. And, but you're also feeling like that disconnect. So I think that doing things that make you feel good, following those impulses that make you feel really good. Oh, I should text this person. Oh, I should, you know, go for a walk. I should go in nature. Those are the impulses that you need to really follow before that inner critic, because he's a fat liar. She is a fat liar.
Yeah, she is not nice.
She's trying to keep you safe. And it's really nice. It's like, thank you so much for trying to keep me safe, ego, but I don't need to listen to you right
now. Yes. I don't know. Sometimes though, I get a little concerned following the happy impulse, because sometimes my happy impulse is eating a lot of Cheetos and like, watching Netflix.
All in moderation, though. Sometimes you really do need those. Sometimes it's just like a restorative day, right? I'm not going to... Listen, my mom's a dietitian, too, but she's not going to say never eat a Cheeto, right? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to binge on something else the next day.
That's so... See, I'm very, like, I eat healthy. I try to, but man, you put some chips in front of me and I will just devour the whole bag. Like, I have no limitations when it comes to chips. And I don't know how to stop myself. And I'm like, gosh, why are you doing this to yourself? And the other part of me is like, it's okay. Like, accept what you're doing right
now. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not every day. It's not every second. It's not
because I make sure to not buy them. Because then I will eat them every day if they're in my house.
Right. But no, that's a great example, is just being able to accept yourself for what you're doing. And, you know, once it starts not feeling good, once you start to feel uncomfortable, then you could stop yourself from eating the chips, right? If you're like, okay, this is a little too much. I'm starting to have some bad thoughts. It's like,
I'm starting to get the chip sweat.
Oh my God. Chester is out getting you with those Cheetos.
Those hot Cheetos, no, I tell you.
They're dangerously spicy, right? Is that the dangerously? Yeah. I don't know.
I think so. They're dangerously good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, this has been so great. So before we end and, you know, wrap this all up, can you give us just some quick tips on, you know, how to start living our better lives today and how to work through that stress and anxiety? Just like some quick, like, what can I do if I'm feeling a certain way?
Yeah. So it's really important to realize that this is something you need to work on every single day. This is not like Sunday self-care day and that's the only time I do my self-care. It's every single day.
Yes. So, consistency, right?
Yeah. I would definitely start with, I think the most impactful thing for the quick hit sort of relief is gratitude, is writing down a list of everything that you're grateful for in your day. Mm-hmm. And then recognize, I think that when you start to look at that list, those are all the things that are in your control. So recognizing what's in your control versus what's not in your control. By when you're in a sense of gratitude, you're in, you know, you have like a higher receiving rate. Like, you are able to receive a lot more love, compassion, all these different things. So
you're opening yourself up to the abundance,
right?
Rather than scarcity.
On that high frequency level, exactly. Right? You're not talking about all the things you don't have. You're talking about all the things that you're grateful for. And then you're able to manifest more of that. And I think another really great tip I learned in a yoga class was, my teacher said that the first 17 seconds of your day is the most important in terms of your thoughts. So if you're waking up and you're thinking like, oh God, I got to do this thing, that's one way to wake up. Or you could think about it and reframe it like, I get to do all these different things, like having more grateful thoughts for those 17 seconds. And mm-hmm. then you're able to attract more of those thoughts that are very similar in nature. Mm-hmm. And then you start spiraling into having a really magnificent day and looking for the things that excite you yeah. and that make you more playful.
Yeah.
So gratitude is definitely one. And then relaxation. I mean, it's easier said than done, right? It's like, I can sit here and prescribe like 15 minutes of mindfulness, but is everyone going to be able to do that? You know, right. setting a timer aside and just getting quiet with yourself and not necessarily stopping those thoughts or changing those thoughts, but noticing those thoughts as if it's in a movie screen, you know, like right. these are just thoughts
Pass
that
by.
Are,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So taking some really deep breaths and being with yourself for about, I would recommend 10 minutes a day, whether that's first thing in the morning or right mm-hmm. before you go to sleep, and maybe thinking about those things that you're grateful for. I think those are really good places to start.
That's so with the being with yourself, does that not include phones, TVs, like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so just to be clear, we don't need anything around us within those 10, 15 minutes.
You do not know.
You are just by yourself.
By yourself. Okay. I use an app called Insight Timer. So I do have my phone with me. Insight Timer is a great mindfulness meditation. It's really cool because you can see all the other people who are meditating at the same time you are. So when
that's
you start.
Nice.
So I literally use the timer now, and you can have background like ambient music and things like that where I just don't look at my phone for the 10 minutes that I'm meditating. And then I have a little bell wake me back up to recognize that, you know, my meditation time is up.
So, great.
Yeah, spending time by yourself is really, really important because it helps you kind of hone in your self-awareness, mm-hmm. be in touch with your thoughts and your feelings, and then figure out, you know, what that next move may be.
Perfect. Oh, I love that. So gratitude and giving yourself 10 to 15 minutes a day to be with yourself, breathing exercises, just maybe journaling too.
Yeah. The gratitude journaling is, I think
gratitude
those are,
journaling. Okay.
Yeah, those go kind of hand in hand. That's a really good point is like the journaling is you just need a place to dump out all your thoughts, mm-hmm. right? Every day I do is just like, and then also replace the thoughts that I actually want to have for the day. I am powerful. I am confident. I'm going to have a really good day. Affirmations
yes.
are
positive
so,
affirmations.
Yes. Louise Hay, that's a whole other episode.
I know.
Right?
We got him lined up.
Seriously. But just the power of intention, the power of those affirmations for yourself and journaling about them. Like your journal doesn't always have to be sad and depressing and all those thoughts. It could also be very empowering and also shift your mindset into what kind of day and what kind of happiness you want to have for yourself.
Yeah. What do you really see as like your best life, mm-hmm. right? How people are like, I'm living a best life. It's like,
well, what actually is that?
Yeah, what actually is that? It's not just eating Cheetos all day.
That would get old after like, what, 2 days?
Yeah,
less than 2 days?
Probably after my arteries get clogged. You're like, all right, I'm bored now.
Yeah, no, it just, there's a time limit, right? You get a little burnt out on the Cheetos and Netflix.
You really do.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. No, this has been so great. Thank you so much for these tips. And, you know, I hope someone out there gets some help out of this. And, you know, we're all in this together. And I always stress that every time I record an episode, because I just really want people out there to not feel alone. Like, I want everyone to remember that we're all going through things. We're all okay. This is part of the human experience, but we're all really just big energies of peace and love in our core. Like that's truly what we are. And we're going to be okay. And, you know, the advice you gave today, like that's wonderful. Gratitude and time alone and meditating. So,
and reaching out, you know, there's so many good people out there who are willing to help as therapists, as coaches, as there's an abundance of practitioners waiting for your phone call.
So many healers
out
there that want to help people.
Absolutely.
You're being one of them.
Yeah, call me anytime. No,
yes. That actually segued perfectly. I was going to ask for, you know, if somebody wants to get in touch with you to maybe just ask you tips or to work with you, what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's called therapywithmolly.com.
Therapywithmolly.com.
Yeah. M-O-L-L-Y. So therapywithmolly.com. Really easy to remember. And then I'm also on Instagram, Molly's Ive Therapy. as well. And I think I'm on Facebook as well. I try to get all these SEOs and marketing things for my business. So I'm all over the place. But yeah, I think, you know, and I think Psychology Today is also a really good tool to find therapists in your area that may take your insurance or whatever issue you may need to work on. I just really want to plug therapy and the positive narrative I'd like to give around it, because mm-hmm. I go to therapy. I know a lot of people that go to therapy. Yes. And just how truly important it is and how affordable it can be if you would like it to be accessible for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think it's so great that you said, you know, let's change the dialogue with this, because mm-hmm. people, you know, there's still that stigma of therapy. Totally. Of like, oh, I'm going to go see a shrink. I'm crazy.
Yeah, we have that, like, you have to, there has to be something wrong with you. But for me, I found that each time I've gone to therapy in my life is a life transition. It's literally, and yes. How many life transitions do we go through?
Every day. The only constant is change. Every day right. You are changing.
Right. Yeah. Right. And we can have those symptoms of anxiety around that and stress. Right. But I think it's just really important to recognize that it's out there and it's readily available.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And you are always just such a delight to be around. I swear every time I'm around you, I feel like my heart just kind of slows down. Like, you really have a calming effect.
Oh my gosh.
And you're just always so like happy and peaceful, and it just makes me feel really enlightened and good. So Thank you for blessing me today with your presence.
Love note from the universe. Yeah, love note. Going callback. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And again, thank you for having this platform. I think it's really important for a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Well, we hope that you got something out of this. And if you have someone that would like to listen to this, maybe help them out. Reach out to someone today. You know, reach out to yourself even. But remember to shine and flow and make it an awesome day.